Digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
Livy, it could take weeks to find Ethan's replacement. In the meantime, I'm going to need a provisional chief of staff. I'd like that to be you.
I have Larry Moss calling for you.
Ma'am, we have evidence Juma allowed Starkwood to use Sangala as a base to manufacture biological weapons.
Are you saying these weapons are on U.S. soil?
We suspect they're at the Starkwood headquarters in Virginia.
And you're not suggesting that Starkwood intends to use those weapons to attack this country?
Given their actions today, we need to move on Starkwood immediately.
They're coming, and they'll be coming with everything they've got. And the only thing that's going to stop them is getting these weapons ready to deploy.
Tell me what the FBI knows.
I don't know anything. Mr. Hodges.
Get him out of here and do what you have to do.
Not spending the rest of my life in prison because Jonas Hodges has lost his mind.
You know where the weapons are?
Yes.
Where's Jack?
He managed to secure the weapons, but Starkwood got him back. Jack was exposed.
But there has to be something that you can do to help him.
There's no cure.
We got a location on the weapon. We're getting ready to stage a raid on the compound.
I want to go.
I'm sorry. I can't allow it.
I'm the only one who's seen the canisters. I know exactly what we're looking for.
But you're sick. We have no idea when you're going to start showing symptoms.
You're right.
Where the damn weapons?
You played me.
Little old Seaton bought us some time.
We're going to do a point-by-point search of this entire compound. There are biological weapons on this facility. We're not going anywhere without them.
If you try to advance any farther, you will be fired upon.
The following takes place between 12 a.m. and 1 a.m.
The standoff continues. Tony walks up to stand by Larry Moss.
I count 3 platoons, at least.
Everything mil-spec.
Yeah, they were waiting for us. This was one big trap.
Renee, we could really use those satellite overheads.
Copy, Larry. What have we got?
Nothing. Subnet's been crashing. Okay, wait, here we go. I've got Sat-5 retasking now.
Somebody talk to me. What are you seeing?
Larry, you've got hostiles on all sides.
Damn it, find me an opening.
I'm looking, but there's no way through.
Okay, heads up. Is everybody seeing this?
Larry?
Yeah. Yeah, we're seeing it.
A trio of Humvees trundle into the enclosure.
It's Hodges.
Coming there at the ready, sir. Appreciate your presence.
Where else would I be? Who's in charge here?
I am. Agent Moss, you need to move your men and allow us to proceed.
I want you off our property, and I want you to release my man. You have no right to take him hostage.
I have an order from the President of the United States
to search this building for weapons that do not exist. Have you looked? Are there weapons of mass destruction? Are there weapons of any kind? Is there anything in here at all?
Larry raises his eyes long-sufferingly.
Agent Moss, who dreamed up this charade? Give me a name. Let's get to the bottom of this.
You want to talk to me, Mr. Hodges? Get these guns off my head.
You think you have a gun at your head? You know what I've got? I've got the United States government sending SWAT teams and attack helicopters in the middle of the night. I've got a government that I served faithfully for 30 years, dreaming up BS accusations so politicians, too cowardly to show their faces, can dismantle my company. That's what I've got. You've got 5 minutes to get these helicopters flying out of here with all of you on board.
You don't want to do this.
5 minutes. And I want my man back.
Hodges smiles threateningly and saunters back towards his vehicle.
Renee, you get that?
Yeah, we did.
What options do we have?
In 5 minutes?
I know there's no time to bring in more tax support, so give me something else.
All right, Larry, give me a second. Stand by.
That's it.
Hodges just gave us 5 minutes to clear the base.
We lost that situation. We were outmaneuvered, but I think I found us a new way in.
Look, these are Senator Mayer's files. This is Douglas Knowles. He's the chairman of Starkwood. He was actually helping the senator with the investigation. He's the one who brokered the deal to open the company's books.
What, another insider? Didn't we just get burned?
Just listen. Knowles was loyal to Hodges for almost 20 years, and now he's secretly helping the senator take down Starkwood. He's scared of something. This man wants to help us. It's worth a shot.
Yeah, make the call.
Knowles.
Mr. Knowles, my name is Jack Bauer. I got your number from Senator Mayer.
Senator Mayer is dead.
Yes, sir, I know. I was with him when he was killed. By one of your employees, a man named John Quinn.
You have no idea how much I was hoping someone would call.
I'm sorry, sir, I don't understand.
Things are very out of control.
Are you aware of what's happening on your base?
I'm watching it with my own eyes. The FBI is pinned down. They say they're looking for bioweapons.
Sir, Jonas Hodges is in possession of a military-grade bioweapon, a pre-armed variant developed in Africa with General Juma.
Well, it's not where they think it is. They're all standing in front of an empty hangar.
The FBI was deliberately led to the wrong location by a man named Seaton. But I promise you, sir, the weapon is on your base. I was contaminated when trying to intercept the canisters. They were ferried back to Starkwood approximately 90 minutes ago.
90 minutes ago, Jonas was handing down his new strategy to the board. Stonewall the government. No cooperation whatsoever. I can't believe this is happening.
Sir, this is happening. And I promise you, the weapons are on your base. Do you have any idea where they might be?
I think I might.
Mr. Knowles, I want to put you in touch with one of my men in the field. Can I call you right back?
Yes.
Thank you. Go.
End of part one.
Some of the men weren't happy drawing down on federal agents.
It's understandable. I had hoped not to include the rank and file.
Well, you can count on them.
Let's show our guests the door.
Let's move! Into position!
As Stokes leads the Starkwood men forward, Larry discreetly hands Tony an earpiece.
Jack, come on, calm.
You're on with me and Agent Walker.
Hodges and his men have repositioned themselves.
Okay, we're gonna have to move fast. Larry, I want you and your men to pull out on Hodges' timetable. Tony, you're gonna need to find a way to stay behind. We're gonna get your vectors over to a man that we contacted inside Starkwood. His name is Douglas Knowles. He believes he knows where the weapons are.
Isn't this how we got into this mess? Almeida and some supposedly friendly contact?
Knowles is chairman of the Starkwood board, but he was cooperating with Senator Mayer's investigation of the company. Larry, he is all that we've got.
All right, I got 400 eyeballs trained on me right now. How the hell are we supposed to get Almeida to stay behind?
Larry, I need you and your men to create a diversion to cover Tony's escape. Look, we need to make this work. If you all get on those helicopters together, we are going to lose this weapon for good.
Larry, are you on board with this?
We gotta go.
Larry, we need to know, are you on board?
I'll do what I can. Take his bag.
Let's go! We're standing down!
Come with me. Hey, wait a minute. This wasn't part of the deal.
What deal? As far as I can tell, he couldn't care about you one way or the other.
Boss, you take these handcuffs off of me or it's gonna get really ugly.
Larry punches Seaton and is in turn smashed in the face with a rifle butt. Tony takes advantage of the diversion and slips away.
Get the hell out of here, Moss. You don't want to test this.
Let's go!
The SEALs and the FBI men file back to their helicopters, covered all the time by the Starkwood mercenaries. Hodges sits serenely in his Humvee. Larry jogs the last few paces and climbs aboard one of the choppers. The great aircraft dust off. Hodges looks on with satisfaction. 12:09, Tony moves clandestinely through the compound.
Don't move.
No!
Doug Knowles. Jack Bauer sent me. Come on. Street's solid security cameras. Take you to a restricted area. It's on the east perimeter. It's a good chance the weapons are there. The place is crawling. No, we're gonna make it. I'll take care of that.
Jack, I'm with Knowles. I'm gonna need satellite support. I need a perimeter.
Jack, I need support. Do you copy? Jack. Renee, anybody.
Copy, Tony.
Come on, let's go.
I've got you just off the landing pad. No hostiles in your immediate vicinity. Proceed at your own discretion.
Copy that. Which way? Come on.
Jack. Tony and Knowles have connected. We're good. It's time to call the White House with an update.
Could help you right there.
Jack is sweating now and beginning to suffer tremors in his hands and apparent weakness in his legs. 12:10. 12:15. Tim Woods enters the Oval Office.
Madam President, excuse the interruption. Jack Bauer's on line 7.
Mr. Bauer, tell me you have the bioweapon.
Madam President, I'm afraid that's not the case. Our search was stopped by armed mercenaries on Starkwood's base. Agent Moss and his men were forced to withdraw from a firefight they most certainly would have lost.
Are you saying Hodges' men were ready to fire on federal agents?
Yes, ma'am, that's correct.
My God, who does he think he is?
Madam President, despite the setback, I am confident the weapons are still there. I reached out to Starkwood's chairman. He is willing to cooperate. He's with Tony Almeida now. They are moving towards a secure area on the base where we believe the weapons are being held.
Very good. Tim, what's our troop status?
Mobilizing. Secretary of Defense says they're still several hours out.
At which point we have a war in our hands against 1,500 mercenaries armed with bioweapons.
Madam President, I do believe that a surgical airstrike will work as long as we can pinpoint the exact location of the weapon.
And you can do that?
Yes, I believe we can.
Mr. Bauer, you've seen the canisters containing the bioweapons. You know what they look like, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Then we'll need you to verify the canisters once Almeida has located them. No more mistakes.
We're gonna need visual confirmation from you, Bauer. Eyes on.
Jack, we have got to get this part right.
I understand. Anything else?
Jack, I've been told that you were exposed to the pathogen. How are you doing?
Right now, I'm fine, Madam President. Thank you for asking.
Thank you for your service. I'm not giving up on you. Keep me informed.
Yes, ma'am. Let's go.
Jack leaves the side office, clenching and unclenching his right hand. In the previous scene in the Oval Office, Olivia Taylor left slightly surreptitiously to take a call.
I don't have a lot of time. What's going on?
That's what I've been trying to ask you. I've called 3 times.
It's kind of crazy here right now. Unless it's urgent, I gotta call you back.
I'm hearing rumors that the Joint Chiefs have been called in.
It's not a big deal. They're just doing a final assessment before lowering the alert level.
Olivia, don't do this.
What? I'm telling you the truth.
Really? Because I've got a source in the Port Authority Container Yard who's using terms like weapons of mass destruction. So naturally, I'm wondering if that's why the Joint Chiefs are having a meeting.
Look, I can't talk about it. It's obviously a question of national security. But you have my word, I'll tell you as soon as I can.
I want to know now.
I just gave you a big story, Ken. You'll have to wait. I gotta go.
Don't hang up on me. Olivia, it'd be a big mistake.
What's that supposed to mean?
You want me to say it? Fine, I'll say it. Think how your mother would feel when she hears that you forced out her chief of staff so you could take over his position.
He was incompetent.
Yeah, well, it won't play that way on the morning news.
Talk to me. Now.
I can't talk here.
I'm in the Roosevelt Continental, room 1271.
You've got a half an hour.
Olivia hangs up, her eyes fixed as if searching for a way out. She makes a call.
Agent Pierce, please get a car ready. I have to make a quick run.
1218. Knowles leads Tony through the Starkwood complex.
All right, Jack, we're here. Noel says there's been increased activity in this area for several days now. I'm looking at about a half a dozen buildings.
Could be any one of them.
Copy that, Tony. Hold on, we're getting infrared up now. I'm counting 7 buildings in your immediate vicinity. The building directly southeast of your current position is showing no infrared signal. I'm guessing they're using a blackout shield.
All right, we'll try there first. You see any patrols coming our way?
Negative, you're clear.
Okay, let's go.
Tony and Knowles break cover and cross a small courtyard. They climb a flight of a few steps. Knowles pulls out a security pass. He runs it through an electronic lock again and again, but to no avail.
Jack, Knowles' key card isn't working. We're gonna need electronic support here.
There should be an R6 interface module on the back of your comm device. It's a card key.
Yeah, I know what that is, thank you. Plugging in now.
Okay, we're up. Cormac Z-Series, we're looking at a 5-digit key protected by an AES block cipher. Running combinations. Okay, Tony, you've got a vehicle coming your way. It's east of you about 100 yards.
Take cover down there.
Knowles runs back down the steps.
How much longer?
How much more time do you need?
I only have 2 out of 5 digits.
We're pretty exposed here.
Jack?
It's all right, I'm fine. Come on.
Tony vaults over the railing to join Knowles behind some metal drums.
Stay down.
A Humvee cruises past, shining a spotlight around.
Two more numbers, Tony.
What are we gonna do? We still got 2 digits to go. We're not gonna make it. Sit tight. Duck, wait! Duck!
Knowles breaks out from behind the metal canisters and heads off after the Humvee. Tony watches, concerned but powerless. Knowles strides out from the shadows to stop the vehicle.
Whoa!
Hold your position. May I see some ID?
Doug Knowles.
Damn it.
One to go.
I apologize, Mr. Knowles. Mr. Hodges has ordered the base cleared of all non-essential personnel.
Not essential personnel.
Chairman of the board.
I realize that, but we're dealing with a heightened security situation here. So I'll need to know what you're doing in this area.
Jonas called a late night board meeting. That's what I'm doing here.
Sir, that meeting ended nearly
Got
2 hours.
Got it. We're in.
I don't have to explain myself to you, you know.
I'm sorry, sir, but you do. Sir, I don't believe you're hearing me.
No, I don't think you're hearing me! I built this company, and I don't need you telling me where I can and cannot walk. Understood?
Come with me, sir. Right this way.
Under cover of Knowles' diversion, Tony leaps up over the railing, removes the ghost card, and opens the door.
I'm in. But they got Knowles.
You think he's gonna say anything?
I don't know. But I better get in and out as fast as possible, just in case he does.
Tony, the president needs a visual on the weapons before she'll launch an attack. She needs your eyes on the canisters and a confirmation by Jack.
Copy that. I'm moving.
Good. Jack?
Yeah. Stay here. I'll be right back.
Jack?
Jack collapses on the floor, his eyes bulging. 12:22, end of part two.
Yes, sir. We just found Mr. Knowles alone, just outside the restricted zone.
Did he have an explanation?
Yes, sir. He said he was walking.
Walking?
Should I take him to Stokes for interrogation, sir?
You're suggesting what, soldier? That we strap him down, extract a confession because he's walking? He's the chairman of the board.
I was just requesting instructions, sir. What you'd like done?
I'd like you to take him to his office, make sure he's comfortable, and stay with him until I arrive.
Yes, sir. Will that be all?
Call Zone 9. Have them double down security. Let's make sure that Mr. Knowles was in fact alone.
Yes, sir.
The sinister weapon sits, bristling with canisters of deadly virus, as all around men in white coats work busily. Hodges walks across the floor of the lab to the main technician.
How much longer?
Half an hour?
Good. I'll need to know the minute it's done.
Yes, sir.
A sumptuous hotel flies the U.S. flag.
Aaron, I'd like you to wait in the hall if that's okay.
Miss Taylor,
you tasked me with handling your security can't allow you to enter a hotel room I haven't vetted.
Aaron, I appreciate the concern. But you can see the door from here. I have you on speed dial. And I can scream very loudly when the occasion demands. I just need 2 minutes to wrangle a reporter. Really, I'll be fine.
All right. I'll be here if you need me.
She walks up to the door. She takes a breath, then knocks. Ken, the journalist, answers the door. She walks in and takes off her coat. 12:29.
Want a drink?
No.
I assume you don't mind if I do. It's been a day.
I gotta tell you, I don't like being threatened.
It was unfortunate. I apologize.
We've known each other a long time, Ken. I thought we had an understanding.
We do. I want to keep it that way. We both do. Am I right? Okay, so, told you I have this source. Cop out at the Port Authority container yard.
Okay.
He told me he saw these professional assassin types get into an intense firefight out there a couple hours ago. According to him, someone hijacked a WMD out to God knows where.
That's true.
Yeah. I want to know all about it. Look, if you think all you've got to do is nod your head, confirming what I already know, then we've got a problem.
It's national security, Ken. I can't tell you.
I'm saying you can.
If this story breaks, it would create a panic. People would be hurt. If you knew what it was, you'd understand why it's got to stay a secret.
Right, exactly. I'd understand. I have a little faith, okay?
All right. There was a bioweapon in the container yard. That's what they were fighting over. It was developed by Starkwood in Africa.
Starkwood?
Right. They moved it to their base about 30 miles from here.
So it's there right now. So this is what the Joint Chiefs are discussing, what to do about that. Olivia.
The president ordered an airstrike as soon as the exact location of the canisters was known. So you see why you can't run with this. Really, Ken, you can't. A lot of lives are at stake. The entire plan depends on surprise. You get that, right?
Ken takes a pull on his scotch, which seems to relieve his panic.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I need to kill this story.
Thank you.
What I mean is, maybe somebody could convince me.
What are you saying?
You know what I'm saying. You're beautiful when you get all patriotic. I ever tell you that?
That's over. We agreed.
Well, you agreed.
Really? I don't want to do this. No, Ken.
Say no.
He kisses her. She does not overtly resist, but the look in her eyes is anything but passionate. Jack receives an injection in his left arm.
This is pandopamine. It should control the shaking. Here, apply pressure. You can give yourself an injection once every 2 hours, more if needed.
You think I'll need more?
In all likelihood, yes. The onset of symptoms so soon after exposure suggests the bioagent is more virulent than we thought. All we're doing here is just masking the symptoms.
I understand.
There's something you may want to consider, though.
What's that?
Brighton University has been funding some studies on prion diseases. The work is purely experimental at this point, but it does suggest treatment.
That's good news.
I don't want to get anyone's hopes up here. We're talking a slight chance. A possible treatment using stem cells from a genetically compatible donor. An immediate family member would make the best donor candidate. I saw your file. It says you have a daughter, right?
I don't want my daughter involved in this.
Jack, if there's a chance.
Mr. Bauer,
Doctor, thank you for everything you've done. Excuse me, I need to get back to work.
12:33.
Jack.
This is none of your business.
It's my business when you're having a seizure in the middle of the FBI.
You heard the doctor. The medication will mask the symptoms.
Why won't you even talk about this?
Talk about what?
The experimental procedure.
Because there's nothing to talk about.
She's your daughter, and you're not even going to let her know?
That's right.
So you're just not even going to try?
I know you're trying to help, but you don't know what you're talking about here. My daughter and I, we don't talk, okay? So please just let it go.
It should be her choice.
Well, it's not. I'm the one who's dying. It's my choice.
Jack heads back into the office. Renee follows.
No sign of the target yet, but Tony's working on it. You look better.
Thanks. Tony, can you hear me?
Jackie, okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, Tony, we're seeing new activity outside the building. 2 vehicles, 8 hostiles.
Looks like a security detail. You think Knowles gave them up?
Tony, they're moving straight for your point of entry.
4 dangerous-looking men run up the steps to the door.
8 hostiles in closing.
Yeah, I hear them.
You want to regroup?
No. I want to get this over with.
Tony manages to open an internal door and slips inside as the 4 men enter the building and move down the stairway, weapons drawn, searching him out.
We're clear. We're clear.
2 of the men pass through the same door and search around in the more or less deserted space within.
Team 3, we're clear.
Tony is hiding behind a large pillar. Bursts out and takes out both of them with the aid of surprise. He begins ripping open the Starkwood uniform top of one of his victims. 12:35. 12:40. Tony finishes cuffing the men to metalwork fixed into the wall. He slips his bag over his shoulder once again and, taking the men's automatic weapons, heads out into a corridor. Going to the lift at the end, he swipes his electronic key through the lock. He gets on board the lift. Doors slide closed, but a hand levers them open at the last second. The white-coated chief technician gets in and nods to Tony. He examines a handful of color photo blow-ups of bacilli. He spots Tony looking at the pictures.
I haven't seen you here before.
They just sent 8 of us over here, sir.
Why, something wrong?
Precautions.
Right, can't be paranoid enough.
The man gets out of the lift. Tony follows and takes in his surroundings.
I'm in the main building.
Copy, we're with you.
Tony, it's Jack. I've got you at 125 feet MSL, approximately 40 feet underground. Is that correct?
That's right, I'm 4 floors down.
Got no information on any kind of subterranean floors for that building.
Believe me, they're here. Epoxy-hardened walls, poured concrete ceilings.
12:42. Tony walks as unobtrusively as possible into the laboratory. He spots the terrible device sitting in the middle of the room.
Rapid visual on the weapon. Sending images for verification now.
Copy that.
The images from Tony's phone come through onto a large screen in FBI HQ. Jack walks across to examine the picture more closely.
Okay, those are the canisters.
We'll notify Admiral Smith. Target is located and confirmed.
Tony, those are the canisters.
Jack, it looks like they're transferring the pathogens from the canisters into some sort of delivery system. It's on the move.
Copy that, it doesn't matter. Renee's phoning in the coordinates. Everything's going to be dust in the next 10 minutes. Get out of there now.
Copy that. Withdrawing.
Knowles sits wordlessly at a large desk under armed guard. Hodges arrives on the scene.
Okay, man.
You want to explain this, Jonas? I'm arrested by our own security force, held captive in my own office like a prisoner. They won't allow me a phone call, even to you, to find out what the hell is going on.
Well, that's a lot of complaints, Doug. You done? You were supposed to be home hours ago. Why'd they find you snooping around?
I saw the FBI raid. They say we have bioweapons.
Which they did not find.
That's not the point. Is it true?
You remember when I first brought you out here? 20 years ago? There's nothing here. Nothing. And out of the damn mud, we built this place. The largest private army in the hemisphere, maybe the world. And we pulled America's ass out of the fire. Again and again and again.
Answer the question!
Every day, we've done things that the government itself could not or would not do. Get this done. That's what they said. Here's your mission. Nobody asked how anything was going to be done. Nobody wanted to know. All anyone wanted was results, and we delivered.
No one's questioning that.
No one's questioning that? You're not insane, are you? The Senate, the committees, the president, every chattering non-entity in Washington is out there with their standard operating procedures saying, how is this done? How was that done? Tearing at us, trying to bring us down, every one of them. I kept this country strong. I kept it safe. And I will not be persecuted for that.
Jonas, you cannot start a war against the people you're supposed to protect.
We were at war. The moment they decided to dismantle us. And as for particular weapons, as for your question, let me rephrase it. Are we prepared to defend ourselves? We are.
Jonas. You can't take on the federal government.
Yeah, well, you never were one for thinking big. 20 years. Treated you like a son. 20 years. A little loyalty. Wasn't that the least I deserved?
Hodges suddenly smashes the heavy glass decanter he is holding against Knowles' head. He does so repeatedly. He then tips Knowles' body over the railing of the balcony. Knowles smashes down, spread-eagled on a huge floor map of the globe. Hodges looks down. The only regret he seems to feel is that he has got spatters of blood on his crisp white shirt. He moves purposefully across to the drinks shelf again, removes the lid of a glass icebox, wets a tissue and starts to dab at the bloodstains. He takes the call.
Sir, we just got an alert from one of our radar intercepts. There's a squadron of F-18s headed our way out of Virginia Beach. Sir.
What's the ETA?
Less than 10 minutes.
What's their readiness? How many?
They're three loaded.
Place the call to the president. I'll be there momentarily.
12:47, end of part three. Part 4, 12:51. Ken lies in bed. Olivia is getting dressed.
You probably think I'm the scum of the earth right now.
All I care about is that you don't run the Starkwood story.
Not your real sport. Taking one for the team like this.
Olivia raises her eyes. She then turns to look seriously at Ken.
Look at me.
He does not.
You won't run it right.
Sorry, Libby. can run it. Breaking something this big will put me over the top in New York. I'll make sure nobody knows any of it came from you.
You lying son of a bitch.
Oh, please. I did what I needed to do to get ahead, just like you.
There's no comparison. Running that story will harm the country.
I've been in Washington a lot longer than you. You'll see. This is how the game is played.
Actually, Ken, this is how the game is played.
What do you mean?
She picks up her phone. She holds up the screen for him to see footage of them in bed.
You run that story, or ever try to blackmail me again, and I'll make sure everyone knows just how you get your leads. I think your wife will be especially interested. From everything you've told me, that's gonna be one nasty divorce.
You bitch.
Find a new beat, Ken. I don't want to see you around the White House again. Sorry. Gotta take this.
...12:53. Aaron stands waiting as she emerges.
Hi.
Where in the world are you?
I'm sorry, I had a meeting on K Street. I had to run interference with a reporter.
Are the press onto this?
Not anymore, I took care of it.
I need you here, Livy. We've had confirmation of the bioweapons, and the airstrike is happening now.
I'll be there in 5 minutes.
Aaron escorts the grim-faced Olivia into the lift. In the cabinet office,
where are we, Admiral?
The F-18s have been loaded with bunker buster ordnance and will be in range in 7 minutes.
What's the risk of the pathogen spreading to the surrounding areas?
Minimal. We're using white phosphorus charges which burn at 5,000 degrees. More than enough to incinerate the pathogen.
And that's been confirmed by the CDC?
It has.
The president ponders. Hodges enters the lab.
Weapons ready?
Yes, sir.
Call to the president?
The call is in process.
It's an historic day, gentlemen. Great day for Starkwood.
Seaton's eyes go to the blood on Hodges' shirt.
Too bad Mr. Knowles can't be joining us.
Seaton is unable to hold Hodges' sinisterly twinkling gaze. Hodges bends down to inspect with relish a screen showing a bank of pointed rockets. The F-16s fly through the night.
Stand by. Madam President, Command and Control is reporting that a phased array radar system is active inside the Starkwood compound.
Meaning what exactly?
They know we're coming.
Is there any evidence of an anti-aircraft artillery threat?
Intelligence is indicating no such capability on the ground.
Madam President, there's a phone call for you. It's Jonas Hodges.
They're all taken aback by this.
Put him on speaker.
Ma'am, he's requested a private conversation. He says he's established a proprietary line in the ops room.
A proprietary line? How did he manage that?
I have no idea.
Taylor gets unwillingly to her feet. She follows Woods out of the cabinet office. 12:56. Across the corridor is a door into a small functional room. Woods opens this and then closes it behind the president. She picks up the phone.
Hello?
Madam President, let me begin by saying that I'm truly sorry it's come to this, but I have to insist that you turn your planes around immediately.
You're in no position to issue ultimatums, Mr. Hodges.
Well, maybe I am. You remember several years ago, Madam President, Starkwood was deployed to Pakistan?
I remember it very well. I fought that deployment.
And you lost. You'll also recall that we requisitioned a missile system at that time, Python 5s. Well, three of those missiles are now loaded with the pathogen and aimed at cities on our eastern seaboard.
You're bluffing.
As a sign of good faith, I'm willing to show you that I'm not bluffing. You see that, Madam President?
He relays to her screen the image of the bank of missiles.
You call this good faith? You are waging war on your own country, Jonas.
Well, of course, I wouldn't see it that way.
What do you want?
Well, we can have that conversation a little later on at the White House.
You think we're going to just sit down and discuss this?
Yes, I do. In the Oval Office? In confidence, within the hour. But in the meantime, I think it is to both of our advantage that the American people do not know the exact circumstance of this standoff. So you will keep this conversation to yourself and turn the planes around. And if you do not comply, Madam President, I will have no choice but to launch those missiles.
Mr. Hodges?
And remember, I can detect any action you take against our facility. You have 30 seconds.
Mr. Hodges? Mr. Hodges?
Hodges' madly grinning face disappears from the screen. Taylor looks around in consternation. Jack, grimacing, moves away from Renee and Janice. He picks up his injection pack and goes to find a corner. Tony looks on as the canisters of the pathogen are lowered on a cable. Jack injects his arm. Taylor runs back into the cabinet office.
Abort the airstrike, April Smith.
Madam President.
Just do as I say.
She watches the radar screen in anguish.
Ma'am, with all respect...
Damn it, Admiral! Abort the airstrike immediately!
This is Admiral Smith. I have an abort order from the President. Take fighters off target. Repeat, take fighters off target. Stand by for confirmation.
The planes divert.
Roger that. We're standing down, Madam President.
The president opens her eyes to find that the entire assembly in the room is staring at her as if in mute reproach. She collects herself and walks with all the dignity she can muster to the door. 1 a.m. The end. We'll be right back.